Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Hi, this is Jordan D. White, editor of Marvel's Star Wars comics line, and you are listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club. This is the podcast you're looking for.
We are happy to welcome Jordan D. White of Marvel Comics to Coffee with Kenobi. Jordan is the editor of the upcoming Star Wars comics line from Marvel. As longtime comic book and Star Wars fans, we are honored to talk with Jordan about this exciting moment in Star Wars lore. Welcome, Jordan.
Hey there.
Hello. Hello. It's so nice to chat with you. The first time that I heard an interview with you was, I believe it was from Comic-Con. Justin Bolger interviewed you from the Force Cast.
Yeah, that's right. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, oh, this guy's great. We've got to have him on Coffee with Kenobi. So it's a real thrill for us, as I said at the top of the show, as far as being Star Wars fans and comics. So you've pretty much got the gamut of awesome going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I've said before, I had no idea I was even in the running to do the Star Wars comics, but when they asked me, I was so thrilled. I love Star Wars and I love Marvel Comics. So yeah, it's a dream job.
It really is. So go ahead and tell us, if you would, what led you to Marvel Comics, and conversely, how much you ended up going into work on Star Wars as well.
Well, the way I got into Marvel, I've always loved comics. I don't remember when I started reading Marvel Comics. It was so long ago that I just always have had them in my life. Spider-Man is such a huge part of my upbringing. So I've loved comics pretty much my whole life, with a brief part in the middle there where I didn't read them as regularly because I didn't have any money in college. But
we understand.
Yeah. We've all been there. Yeah.
Right. But even then, I did my best to keep up. And when I got back into them in a big way, I went back and bought a lot of what I missed. After college, I was doing a lot of radio stuff. I was doing radio serials that I had created, and rallying a bunch of writers and actors to do these every week to put on a radio show. And it was a lot of fun, something I absolutely love doing. And it's actually very similar to the thing that I do now as an editor, working with different writers, different artists to get something creative done on a regular basis. I mean, that's basically why I did the radio show, was because when I got my own radio show on this radio station, I said, I can do anything I want with this. I want to be telling stories. Let's do this. And it was kind of the closest thing I could do to comics on the radio. And when I got the opportunity to actually do real comics at Marvel, I was like, absolutely, let's go for that. So I've been at Marvel now for 7 years. And I started out as an assistant editor on Mark Panichi's books in the Hulk office. I moved over to the X-Men office for a while, which I'm basically still in, and worked my way up to editor. And then they asked me if I would like to do the Star Wars line. And I said, yes. like I said, I had no idea we were even in talks to do the Star Wars comics. So when they approached me, I was not allowed to tell anyone. There were like five people in the building who knew that I was going to be working on them. My boss, his boss and his boss, basically. Like I couldn't even tell my fellow editors, oh my God, I'm doing Star Wars. I had to wait until after it was announced that Marvel was going to be doing them before I could talk about it at all, was crazy.
Oh, I'll say. And did I hear correctly that you got to go to the ranch?
I did.
Wow.
They flew us out to first to just regular Lucasfilm headquarters, which was super nice. But the second time we went out there, they took me, editor-in-chief Axel Alonso, C.B. Cebulski, who's a vice president over at Marvel, Jason Aaron, Kieran Gillen, Jason who's writing Star Wars, Kieran who's writing Vader, and John Cassaday who's drawing Star Wars. They took all of us out to the ranch. They took us into the archives. We got to look at the props up close and personal. We got to look at the costumes up close and personal.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was so cool. We were all total geeks. John Cassaday, I don't know if you know him.
Sure, of course.
You've seen him in places. He's like a real slick dude. He's an awesome guy. He loves Star Wars so much. So he was absolutely going crazy. Just, and we all were. We all were.
That's so awesome just to hear those stories. I mean, like you said, you've been working with so many iconic characters, the Hulk, X-Men, all kinds of things like that. And of course, you know, coming from fandom, where that driven fandom has brought you up in this career. So, you know, what does it mean to be able to shape the canonical Star Wars stories here with Marvel? And is there a lot of pressure with that more than usual you'd be doing with either like Marvel heroes?
You know, in a way there is, because the difference, obviously the way that Marvel comics work is, you know, Spider-Man started at X point in the past and ideally will go on forever.
Yeah.
It will never, ever stop. You know, he gets a little older, but we try to keep that aging as far down as little as possible so that he keeps relatively, you know, he's a young guy. And we can tell an infinite number of stories of him as a young guy. Like, ideally, yeah, 100 years from now, we'll still be going, yeah, he's like 28.
<You know>? That's right.
And we'll just be retelling, you know, not retelling, we'll be telling new stories about the same thing as if, like, do you remember that thing that happened in 2014? It's like, yeah, that still counts, but now it's sort of the timeline is fudged. Star Wars is different in that it has a much more fixed timeline. So we can't tell infinite number of stories set between Star Wars and Empire, you know?
Right.
There's a certain amount we can, I mean, we can, you know, we can do our best to tell as much as we can, but there's only so much you can say happened in those 3 years, you know? And there's an arc for like the character arcs for the stories, you know, what happened to them between there. You know, Luke didn't, you know, he can't learn to become a Jedi because he's not a full Jedi yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
It poses some truly challenging things for a storyteller and a writer, which I think is great because that makes me feel comfortable knowing that it's in Marvel Comics hands, because you can take a challenge like that and make it your own and just make it incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that we're really rising to, that in that we did. We looked at this time period between Star Wars and Empire and we said, what happened to those characters in that time? What has changed between Star Wars and Empire? My favorite being for Vader. We looked at what's changed for Vader, and Kieran came up with some pretty significant things. It's like, this, he's different. Something is different about him, and here's why. And we were like, oh, that's really good. And so that's what we're telling the story of
in
our Darth Vader book, which I'm so excited for. The first issue of Star Wars is all done. We've started getting the first print copies of them into the office this week.
Wow.
And a couple of the other editors have been reading it and going, oh, this is so much fun. It feels so much like a movie. And it's such a good continuation. And I'm like, yes, yes, that's what I'm going for.
Well, that's the dream. And this is I would say after A New Hope or immediately after Empire, those are the two areas, since we've got the new canon direction, those are the ones that are most intriguing. So that's right. Very exciting.
I agree. I think Jason Aaron is absolutely nailing these character voices. Every time I read one of his scripts, I just want to cheer because he gets them so well. And you're like, yes, yes, I can absolutely hear that coming out of their mouths. That is exactly what they would do. And like I said, John Cassaday loves Star Wars, so he is drawing it so beautifully. I really think people are going to be blown away by this.
Well, it sure sounds that way. And you mentioned so eloquently the kind of collaborative effort that goes into making this in Marvel Studios. But we've also got the inner workings of the Lucasfilm Story Group. So how do these new comics cross over to one another? And how do you work with the Lucasfilm Story Group to make sure they keep everything in the direction they want it to go?
Well, they see every single thing we do. I mean, and that, I'll be honest, that's the tough part, because we're used to working very quickly at Marvel. We turn books around pretty fast. So that is the part that takes some getting used to. And that's why this is a bit tougher than doing just, you know, Deadpool books that I do. Because they look at every single thing we do. They look at the scripts, they look at the art, they read the lettered versions, and they give us notes on all of these things. Because everybody involved wants to make sure this is official canon. This is the actual Star Wars, and this is going to fit in with everything that, I mean, not just with the movies, but all the things that they're working on going forward. Not just the movies that have already come out. I mean, because sure. Obviously we already look at those. but yeah, they'll give us, you know, obviously I can't give any details, but they'll give us notes going like, no, here's why that, you know, that doesn't jibe with what we got planned in such and such. It's like, oh, I see. And then we, you know, work with them to make it fit with that.
How about, I know that they're releasing some new novels. There's a Luke one coming out early spring, and then next in the summer is a Darth Vader and Emperor book coming out.
Yeah.
Now, do those kind of weave into that too, or how do you guys kind of dance with that?
Well, I was going to say both, but that doesn't make sense because for a second, like, it's both up to both me and Lucasfilm to do that. It's up to both us and Lucasfilm in the sense that they do give us those, and at the same time, of course, they read all of it, so they're the first. They're the main people to point out, oh, you know, this thing you're doing is close to this thing that they're doing over there. Either you need to check it out to reflect it, or check it out to, you know, fix it, or, you know, anything like that. And then we'll go, oh, yeah, give us that book. We'll work it out. Because they obviously work very closely with, I think that's Del Rey, right? Del Rey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we've met with Del Rey a few times as well to try to work together on things and to talk about what they're doing and what we're doing and what kind of plans we have and how they echo each other. And it's pretty cool. I haven't read all of that Luke book, but I've definitely read a bunch of it at this point. I've read the Tarkin book, which is out. It's so awesome. I really liked that one. And that one, I'll tell you, reading that one made me kind of bummed because I was like, we can't use him. He's definitely dead. It would be super lame if we said he wasn't.
Right.
And I read the Rebels one, A New Dawn as well, which was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it is, since it is Marvel Comics, I know, I mean, only Uncle Ben stays dead, but now we can put Tarkin in that one too.
There you go.
Well, you bring up some interesting things, and not to jump companies here, but I think sometimes when people hear about the story group and how the collaboration goes, sometimes people picture General Zod standing in front of the Kryptonian panel, you know, and then they chip him off if they don't like the idea. But it sounds like it's much more harmonious than that.
Yeah. I mean, they've been really terrific. We've met with them in person when we went out there, and they're all really cool people, and they really, you know, they want to tell good stories. They're not like some, you know, bitter group of people going, we're going to keep Star Wars for ourselves. They're super cool. When they say no to something that we're doing, they always say no, but here's why, and here's another possibility. Like, what about, or sometimes they'll go, that's great, and here's another suggestion for how to bring it in even closer, because here's something that you might not know about a corner of the universe that something is happening in. It's like, oh, that's great.
Sure.
I mean, they're super great to work with.
And they really let you just take the ball and run with it. And then you just sort of say, hey, here's what we got going on. That's great to hear.
Yeah. I absolutely have enjoyed a lot working with them. They're super cool people. Whenever we go out there and we talk with them, it's a blast. Everybody, I mean, you know, you can imagine a room full of people who love Star Wars talking about, wouldn't it be cool if this happened in Star Wars, and then trying to make it happen. It's awesome.
It's a dream. It's a dream.
Well, Jordan, definitely your attitude is contagious. Your excitement is contagious. I mean, I'm excited just to read it right now. So, I mean,
I know.
I think it's so much fun. It sounds like a lot, just a blast to be able to, like you said, work with all these talented folks and these fans and be able to just to collaborate with all these great people. How has this enhanced your experience as a Star Wars fan and then fandom in general, maybe?
Star Wars, I said that Marvel's been a part of my life as long as I can remember. Same with Star Wars, because the first movie came out before I was born. I was born in 79. So the first movie came out before I was born. Both of my parents were fans of it. And so it's always been part of my life as well. I will admit, I had kind of, I mean, I don't want to say I fell out of Star Wars. I always liked it. You know what I mean? It was always still there, but I didn't actively pursue Star Wars stuff quite as often as I did before I got the gig. I had been reading the Brian Wood Star Wars book, but that was kind of the only Star Wars comic I was actively reading at the time. And I wasn't really too big into the novels at that point. I had read some in the past. But finding out that I was going to be working on them made me go like, oh, wow, like there's a whole there's a whole active world of Star Wars happening that I have kind of let slip. Well, I mean, again, partially because I'd been focused on the X-Men or focused on the Hulk when I was working on the Hulk, that I haven't been noticing. And as soon as I opened my eyes to that, I was blown away by how much cool stuff there was. I have always been impressed by the Star Wars fan community, how creative they are and how much neat stuff they make. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. No.
We all went there.
I couldn't help it. A long time ago when I was in college, so even farther back than that. When I was in college, I had discovered this thing called Star Wars the Musical. I don't know if you know that one. It's at this website called infomedia.com, but not info, I-N-F-O. It's I-N-F-A-U-X media, I think.
Right.
And they made this thing called Star Wars the Musical. And it was kind of like, it wasn't a parody of Star Wars. It was kind of a parody of musicals. But I fell in love with it back then. And I listen to it pretty regularly even now. Just a random example of these people who just love Star Wars and made a full musical. They obviously, again, they can't sell it. They can't get money off of it. But they loved it and they put it all into that. There's a lot of webcomics. Do you know the webcomic Darths and Droids?
Yes.
I love it. It's so much fun. And again, I can't imagine how much work they must have put into that.
it kind of boggles the mind, really.
It's so much fun. The fact that they've gone through the entire prequel trilogy already. I started reading it about a year ago. So I read the three movies worth and then into – no, actually, I guess at this point they're halfway through Empire. So basically four and a half movies worth in a row, not in one sitting, but over the course of a couple of weeks. And I just was going crazy at how much I loved it.
That's very cool. And I know you're a big genre guy anyway. I read online and heard in your previous interview with Justin that you're a big Rocky Horror guy as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back before I was at Marvel, I was in a Rocky Horror cast in upstate New York in Binghamton.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was, I was in it for about 10 years.
Wow.
I mostly played Eddie and Dr. Scott.
Oh, cool.
But it was super fun. I love Rocky Horror. It's so ridiculous, but it's a really good time.
It puts a smile on your face. What can you say? Right? Well, I mean, it's the genre things. And we talk about Star Wars here. And in your opinion, what separates Star Wars from the other genres that it has helped it to endure? And how does this lend itself to storytelling through the medium of comic books?
That is a good question. I wasn't alive when Star Wars came out. But, I mean, it's kind of – I feel like everything that everybody said about it is how much it just completely changed everything when it came out. It came out – people weren't used to that kind of a thing existing, that kind of crazy adventure.
Right.
You know, I don't know. And then so at this point in my entire life has been full of people trying to be the next Star Wars. And I feel like no one has ever been the next Star Wars but Star Wars.
Right. And those comparisons come up all the time, don't they?
All the time. Like anytime there's a big sci-fi action movie, people go, it's going to be this generation Star Wars. And then oftentimes then Star Wars will come back along and go, well, we're this generation Star Wars too.
That's right.
We're going to be this generation Star Wars.
Well, I'm sure you're no stranger to when Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, exploded on the movie theaters last summer. Here's the new Star Wars. Well, no, maybe it's just the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. I mean, I loved Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, us too.
I'm a big James Gunn fan even before that. So I was excited for him to see whatever he would cook up. And I thought it was amazing.
Incredible.
That being said, I think there's room for both.
You bet.
I don't think they scratched necessarily the same itch. I think that became super clear when this new trailer came out and everybody exploded. Like everybody just was like, oh my God, this looks so cool. As for why it translates well to comics, it's full of like a lot of really awesome iconic imagery. It has just ingrained itself into the cultural consciousness of our society. So the people, like, let me put it this way as well. When they announced that we were doing Star Wars comics, and especially since it's become widely known that I'm editing them, I have heard from so many artists who want to draw Star Wars for us.
Wow.
Everybody loves Star Wars in this, you know, industry, not literally everybody, but so many people. And a lot of that comes from the amazing visuals, the artists who are completely inspired by the look of it and want to be part of recreating that. And I think it's very similar in that way to, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men, that these are all characters who have a very iconic imagery that everybody knows. Oh, well, Spider-Man's got the red with the webs on it, and then the blue, and the Hulk's green, and he's got the torn purple pants. And I think Star Wars fits right into that kind of awesome iconography with Darth, especially obviously Darth Vader. He's so cool and so complicated and so hard to, like, when, I mean, listen, I'm not an artist, but when I think about trying to draw him, it's like, oh God, that's gotta be so hard. There's so many angles on his mask. There's a million buttons and switches on his chest.
Right.
There's all the lines on his costume. Like, but obviously we've got Salva La Roca drawing the Vader book and Adi Granov doing the covers for it. They are making him look so cool. It's amazing. And I don't know how they have the time to draw all those bits and bobs on him, but they look terrific.
Well, and the images that have been presented so far certainly are wonderful. Are you someone who has to keep track of all the variant covers? Because that must be dizzying.
I'm not alone in that, but I definitely had to do some of that. Yeah, there was a lot of variant covers on that first issue. Me and George Belliard was taking he's the one who worked directly with a lot of the artists to get those commissioned. But then when they would come in, I'd have to take them and prep them and get the logos on them and stuff like that, run them by everybody. There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's some really, really good ones in there. I'd be really hard pressed to pick a favorite because there's some really cool ones.
Yeah. I was looking up the other day. They had a big giant gallery out there. I think there's like over 20 or so or something like that. And
there's more than that.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah. I was looking at all of them. Like you said, like they're all great covers. I mean, I couldn't decide if, like, you know, when I go to my local comic shop, I might get them all. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But
a number of them are exclusive to specific retailers. There's a couple of homage covers, which are kind of neat. There's one that was an homage to the original, the first cover with Iron Man on it. I forget what it's the number, but in Tales of Suspense, mm-hmm. with Boba Fett putting on his armor, which is pretty awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There's a first appearance of the Punisher homage with Boba Fett taking aim at Han, which is
great. I love that. I have that original comic, by the way. But
Nice. There's an X-Men number one, and I mean the 90s X-Men number one homage.
Oh yeah.
It's put to the image of Magneto kind of standing there menacingly, and it's replaced with Vader, obviously. It's super cool. There's some really, really neat ones. And then, although the best homage one being the Alex Ross homage to the original number one.
Yes.
It looks so cool. And when you compare it to the original, it's so funny because, I mean, again, he was like, let's redo the original as if they actually had access to what these characters and things are supposed to look like. Which is obviously no knock on Howard Chaykin. They were doing that book before the movie ever came out, that cover. But it's super cool seeing it with like all the correct vehicles and all the characters in the right costumes. And then we went in and we tried to recreate the trade dress with the, you know, the same call outs, the same blurbs and everything. It was a lot of fun.
How many variant covers are there going to be produced?
There's a lot. I probably shouldn't say the exact number.
Gotcha.
It's a bunch. But I mean, we did announce that we're selling over 1 million copies in stores, which is pretty.
Congratulations, by the way.
Pretty amazing. Thank you so much.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, that's a lot. Listen, that's a lot of issues. Apparently, it hasn't been done since, what was it, Batman 600 at the end of Nightfall?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Which was in the 90s. So
yeah,
that's 90s. That's pretty, pretty crazy. Like I said, I'm really proud of the issue. I think when people read it, they will really enjoy it. And so the idea that there's 1 million of them out there and that they can get into that many people's hands, I think that's a great opportunity to say, hey, if you haven't been reading comics, I mean, because that's the thing. Way more people like Star Wars than read comics. Way more.
Yeah.
So if we could get as many as possible of them to go, oh, comics are actually pretty fun. This is really neat. And then come back and check out the next issue. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
Now, you know, as Marvel made this giant announcement, not only were they going to do a Star Wars centered title, but they had other titles, you know, doing some of the individual characters. Can you talk about a little about each of those and how they're going to be represented?
Sure. Well, the second title is Darth Vader, and it's coming out in February. It is another ongoing series, and the plan is, like I said, that it also takes place between Star Wars and Empire. Because when we looked at it, we said, you know, he actually seems to be in a very different place in Empire than he is in Star Wars. What exactly went down? And we've got some really neat stuff to explore with that. That is kind of a sister series with the Star Wars series in that they can kind of bounce off each other a little bit. You know, they could mention things in the same way that, you know, you can have multiple X-Men books all taking place at the same time, and once in a while something will affect from one to the other. That's what we can do with Star Wars and Vader in that respect. Then in March, we've got Princess Leia miniseries coming out. We've shown, I think, the first two pages of it online now. So actually you can see that it takes place literally moments after A New Hope. It starts at the medal ceremony.
I think I saw that, yeah.
Evacuating the base. And it's basically, we wanted to do miniseries showcasing other characters that aren't the – because our philosophy on the Star Wars book is, of course, everybody's in it. But much like Star Wars and Empire and Jedi, we wanted this to be Luke is the main character. Like, he's the hero who's on the hero's journey. So while Leia and Han and Chewie are going to be in it, and as far as I know, probably in like every issue, they are so far in all the scripts we got, because they're super important characters, Luke is still the centralist most character, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So we were like, we want to showcase other characters as well. And Leia was the first one that came up as, you know, she should have her own story too. And obviously, right after the medal ceremony, before the medal ceremony, before they blew up the Death Star, she was saying there's no time for their sorrows. They don't have time to think about the fact that Alderaan just blew up. Well, now she has a little bit more time, and she can deal with the fact that she is the princess of a planet that is no longer there. And what does that mean? And Mark's come up with some good stuff for her to be doing regarding that, and a good adventure for her to go on. I'm pretty excited for that one as well.
That's a story I think that has been needing to be told for so very long. I was very relieved and happy to hear that's the avenue that is going with that one. So kudos to you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was, you know, Mark's idea. Mark is a terrific writer. Mark Waid.
He's no stranger to comics.
Icon right there. Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. And then in that's in March, and then in April we're launching a Kanan series, which is a spinoff of. Obviously, the new Rebels show. Kanan Jarrus in the show is a former Jedi. And we're focusing on his past in this series. So it flashes back from the Rebels time to what happened to him during the time of Order 66. How did he survive the purge of all the Jedi in order to be part of the show as he is now? And we've got Greg Weisman, who is one of the producers on the first season of Rebels, writing it. He is a dream to work with. He is such a good storyteller, and he knows these characters inside and out. It's coming out terrific. I've read the first two scripts of it at this point. I think it's going to be really good. And what I love about this series is that I mentioned not following as closely with Star Wars before I was told I was going to be working on these books. One of the things that I did since then is been able to like gorge myself on Clone Wars.
Oh yeah.
And just jump into this, because I hadn't watched Clone Wars at all. So I jumped into Clone Wars and watched so many episodes. And I love this series because it is the bridge. It is, you know what I mean? It's a bridge between mm-hmm. Clone Wars and Rebels. It's a character from Rebels in the era of Clone Wars. And it's, I don't know, I think that's really neat. I think it's really awesome to be able to say,
that's tremendous.
Yeah, here's this guy during that show. Ha ha.
Oh, it's like a fan dream come true that we're getting to see these stories told in the medium that so many people love, which is of course comics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's extremely cool.
And yeah, and that one, we've also at this point we've been getting in some amazing design work from Pepe Larraz, who's doing the art for it. And because it's Rebels connected, we're running it not only by the story group, but by the Rebels EPs are looking at it as well. And I know they really liked the art that they saw from Pepe. It's so wonderful looking, and I think you guys will probably be seeing a glimpse of it relatively soon. So
awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah,
that's exciting, and we're biased. And we've had Greg on before, and it seems like every episode of Rebels that he writes has been tremendous. So knowing that he's jumping back into the character like this is pretty exciting for us. And speaking of exciting, we recently learned that Darth Vader number 3 will feature a new female presence, and I believe, is it pronounced Aphra? Is that correct?
Aphra, yep.
Okay, good. We have the right man on for this. So what can we look forward to from this exciting new character that, of course, you're allowed to say?
I shouldn't say too much. I think that the solicits call her a raider of lost weaponry. Is that correct? If I remember
yes.
correctly, I think that's
yes.
what we wrote. In order for both books not to literally just be in this book, we tell Luke's version of him fighting Vader. And in this book, we tell Vader's version of him fighting Luke. We were like, okay, for the most part, that's going to be what Star Wars is about. But Vader is a very powerful guy in the Empire, and he's doing a lot of other stuff. He's not just on Luke's tail all the time. Of course, that's a big thing he's doing, but there's a lot going on for him. And so we wanted to introduce more characters and, you know, give him some people that he can bounce off of, preferably ones that don't get choked in the first appearance.
Yeah.
So Aphra is the first of these characters that we're introducing. I think she is. And we're very excited for that. It's the idea of adding new characters into the Star Wars lore is crazy. It's kind of insane. But Kieran has some wonderful ideas for characters. She's the first, but she's not going to be the last. In fact, technically there's a couple of droids on the cover of that issue as well, who are also going to be some new and relevant droids as well. But Aphra is super fun. I'm trying to remember if Adi Granov designed her or if Salvador LaRocca did. I think Salvador LaRocca designed her, and then Adi obviously painted her on the cover. I love that she has circuitry tattoo on her arm.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a super cool looking design.
Those droids too. I'm sorry to interrupt. Those droids very much look like something from the classic Marvel line, I think.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you, I am not incredibly well versed in the classic Marvel comics of Star Wars. Every time anybody talks to me about them, I cannot believe how bananas they sound.
There were some that were bananas.
Somebody was telling me that there's a Jedi Knight who's like actually a knight.
Yes.
Like he like dresses like a knight, right. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
During the day and night, yeah.
I do look forward to looking at them when we put out the new collections of them. But obviously I guess they're like three continuities ago, right? Because I don't even think they were considered to be continuity when they shifted everything to Legends.
I think you're correct. Yes.
But still, yeah, it sounds like they're a lot of fun. I've only read the movie adaptations. I've never read the all the ones that were in between.
Well, some are much stronger than others, obviously, but the ones that are fun are really engaging.
Yeah, everybody talks to me about Jackson, but I've never actually read about him.
Yeah, he's just the icing on the proverbial cake, really.
Although when we did the joke cover with him, I saw somewhere online they showed that his skeleton was in Clone Wars.
Yes, supposedly.
That's
at least
that's
his race or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well, poor guy.
So Jordan, not only do you edit for Marvel, you're obviously very well engaged in other activities. You also have a podcast that you do. Tell us a little bit about that and maybe the other exciting things you've got going on.
I actually have two podcasts, although one of them I have not been doing very much recently. The one I've been very active on recently is a podcast called Sailor Business. I'm assuming that's the one you were referring to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one, it's wonderful. Me and Chris Sims do it. We have guests on and we talk about episodes of the cartoon show Sailor Moon, the 1992 version, not the new one that's coming out now. I absolutely was in love with that cartoon when I was in high school, towards the end of my high school career. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of got back into it, I realized I had never watched the whole thing, and I went, oh, let me, you know, actually watch the whole thing. And I would watch one episode before work every morning, and then I would Twitter about it a bunch. I would do like, you know, 10 to 12 tweets about it, to the amusement of some and the annoyance of others. But Chris was one of the people who loved it, and we kind of met because of that. Or, I mean, we had interacted a bit because he was reviewing comics that I worked on before, but that's the first time we started talking online. And at some point recently, we said, we both love Sailor Moon. Let's do this podcast. And we're 18 episodes in. We're doing every single episode of the show. There's 200 episodes of Sailor Moon, wow, the old show, and some movies. So at some point, we'll have to do the movies as well. But so we're 18 episodes in, and it's so much fun. It's a ridiculous, if you don't know Sailor Moon at all, it's a ridiculous TV show. It's about a teenage girl who finds out that at first she just finds out she has superpowers, mm-hmm, and she can turn into this hero called Sailor Moon, and she can fight people from the Negaverse who are, I don't know, maybe aliens. It's sort of hard to say. And she has a talking cat, and then a bunch of her friends also become heroes. And it's a really fun, silly show that we love. And so we love doing that. You can find that on the internet our Twitter is at Sailor Business, and that can link you to the site. Otherwise, it's wax-work.com/Sailor, or it's up on iTunes under Sailor Business as well.
And we'll put a link to that in our show notes for sure.
Cool. And I actually do have another podcast called Cast in Wax, which is made up of all of my old radio shows that I used to do before I was at Marvel, with new framing sequences with a bunch of hosts who are all played by me. There's like these four co-hosts who are just me doing different voices. And I used to do that when I started it. I did it weekly, and then I tried to do it bi-weekly. And at this point, I think I've only done like 3 or 4 episodes this year, which is a bummer. I really want to do more of it, but it's a lot of work. Other than that, I do a lot of ukulele covers, and you can find me on YouTube doing that. If you look up Jordan D. White, I play covers of like punk rock songs and ridiculous stuff.
Man of many talents.
Cool, yeah.
Any Star Wars covers yet?
At this point, I have actually done, kind of two. One is I did A Day to Celebrate from the holiday special I did at Christmas time last year. It's pretty ridiculous. And then actually, I think coming out tomorrow on Comic Book Resources, do you know Christmas in the Stars?
Of course.
So they had me and Kieran do an article about Christmas in the Stars. So I think it'll be up tomorrow, which is Christmas Eve Eve. And I did a cover of one of the songs from that.
Oh, wow.
And that'll be going up. I did a cover of Merry, Merry Christmas, which is the one that the toy making droids sing. And they are super annoying, but I tried to make it sound okay. And I think I did an all right job.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. If that's successful, we'd love to include a snippet of it in the show. That would be fun.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I believe it'll be up tomorrow, and you can,
awesome,
grab it off of YouTube.
So I've got a kind of an interesting question. Maybe you're not sure yet, but what are you more excited about next year? Avengers: Age of Ultron or Star Wars: The Force Awakens?
Oh man, an unfair
question. Oh, no.
That's why I wasn't sure if you're ready to answer that yet. I know.
You can pull the I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, I'm trying to decide if I could only see one of them, which one would it be?
That's
hard.
If I had to pick between seeing one or the other, I would go with Star Wars, because that's the only way to see the next part of the Star Wars story. That is the continuation of all of Star Wars, and that the movie is the only way to see it. With Avengers, it's going to be an amazing movie. I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to see it. Joss Whedon is so good. All the actors are so good. But it's not like it connects with the comics. Like, I could always also read the comics and be like, all right, I'll just make do with those. Star Wars, you got to see this movie. That's the only way. So if I had to pick, I'd go Star Wars.
Excellent answer. Very, very, very well done. So what we'll do now, and Jordan, thank you again. You've been so gracious with your time. And it's really been, as Corey said, such a thrill to speak with you, and you're getting us even more excited for these books, if that's even possible. So what we're going to do now is jump into our five questions that we ask each one of our guests, and I'll start with the first one. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
When I was a kid, I guess when I was more like in the 90s, what I would have said was, and I literally said this a bunch and people thought I was a loser. I said, my favorite Star Wars movie is the second half of Empire and the first half of Jedi. The Cloud City stuff.
That would be cool.
And the Jabba stuff. I loved all of that. That's really a cheap and cheesy answer, though. But I'll tell you, in the intervening years, I have really found a lot more love for the original Star Wars, A New Hope. Empire is amazing. There's so much cool stuff in it, and it really ups the game. Like, you know, there's Star Wars, and then Empire builds on it and takes it to a new level. But you got to have Star Wars in order to do that. And there's something about the kind of cleanness and purity of it that just it's able to stand completely on its own. You could just watch that and go, that was a great story, the end. And I love it for that.
Well said. Well said. So your favorite Star Wars character?
C-3PO.
Cool.
I know that's a very unpopular answer.
I love that because that's the first action figure I ever got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think he was the first, but I definitely had the take him apart C-3PO, and that was so cool. Mm-hmm. I was at a convention earlier in the year, and one of my selfish purchases I made is of the, like, what are they, like the 12-inch figures?
The jumbo. Yeah.
The ones that they have the whole line that are all, like, you know.
Yeah, the Gentle Giant.
Nice, you know, costumes and everything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't care about costume recreations. I want that perfect C-3PO. And he's so shiny and awesome. And he's at my desk at work and I love him. And I just pick him up. Also, because he's C-3PO and he can barely move in that costume, the figure basically moves as well as he does. So he poses perfectly. I love it. I love it.
That's right.
He's a ridiculous character. I know some people hate him because he's comic relief a lot. And also he's not very heroic in his appearance in Rebels. I was kind of like, oh, don't do that, you jerk. but I love him. I think he's so fun.
He's fun. Much more fun, in my opinion, in the OT than in the prequels. But still,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the things I kind of I wish that they had been – I wish that they had used them more consistently in the prequels. Mm-hmm. Because they are such a wonderful through line for the original series. I wanted them to continue that. And so I was kind of bummed that they didn't. But what are you going to do?
I agree.
Hopefully for the new ones.
That's right. So what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
Again, kind of an uncommon one in that. But I have to say it's my favorite because I say it constantly, which is I call it luck. It's stupid. And that's kind of the way it is with me. It's like the weirdest lines get stuck in my head. But I constantly, if anybody talks about anything, I'm like, I call it luck.
Well, it's Han Solo. It's classic Han Solo.
Yeah.
I know. It's just most people would go for the, you know, the previous stuff about, you know, hokey religions and all that.
That's
and
I'm right.
Like,
no,
I just go with I call it luck. That's all I want.
That's right.
Simple version.
It's like an earlier version of Talk to the Hand.
I like that. That's good. So, Jordan, if you collect, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
Is that of anything or of Star Wars?
Well, if Star Wars or anything you'd like, sure.
Well, do both if you want.
Yeah, do both.
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, of Star Wars, I'm not a collector in the sense of value. I don't collect things to be like, oh, this is worth so much. And I bought something super expensive and now I have a valuable thing that I keep in a case or whatever. So, I mean, I would probably end up saying my favorite Star Wars collectible is that C-3PO because it's just super cool and I love it. And I've got it on my desk and I see it every day. And whenever I feel like it, I'll just pick him up and play with him and put him down. I also have at the same time, I bought one of the little beanbag Jabbas, which is so adorable. So, I mean, I guess I'll go with that. As for other collectibles, I don't know. I mean, again, I like weird things. I have this again, probably not worth anything, but I just love it. I have a big cardboard Spider-Man like standee thing from a comic shop. It's a big Todd McFarlane Spider-Man.
Nice.
Swinging with like a photo, an actual black and white photo in the background of skyscrapers. And it's, I got it because I worked at a comic store and they were just like, we're going to get rid of this stupid thing. Nobody's ever going to buy it. And I was like, I'll take it. And now it's in my living room and I think it's super cool.
Those are the kind of collectibles that are just, you can't put a value on them because they're just pretty awesome and they're very unique.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So speaking of unique, this is always one that it's wonderful to hear people's answers to all of these, but this one is my particular favorite of our five questions. What particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
Oh, goodness. That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I mean, it's tough because I'll be totally honest with you. A lot of the stuff kind of is stuff that I almost am like, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that. like one of the big ones is Yoda, obviously. The big Yoda thing is there's no try. Do or do not. There's no try. And I'm always like, Yoda. I feel like it's the exact opposite. I feel like it doesn't matter if you achieve it or you don't. What matters is that what your intent is and what you try. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'm like, oh, I disagree with them so strongly. The big one is that it's hard to do the good thing and it's easy to do the bad thing. It's easier to be on the dark side of the force because you get more power quickly. You give in to something to just, you know, yeah, the thing that you want, simple. Whereas to fight against that is hard because in addition to trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve, you're resisting doing things the easy way. And that's definitely something that, I mean, that's something that resonates with a lot of kind of superhero stuff. And I definitely like that a lot. That whole final battle that Luke goes through, I mean, it's kind of messed up when you think, the more you think about it, because it's like the Emperor is sitting there going, yeah, kill me. Go ahead, kill me. And it's like, well, that's kind of what he wants to do. Like, that's kind of why he's here almost. But I mean, that's what they're all trying to do. They're trying to take down the Emperor. That seems like it'd be the right thing, right? But it's like, no, because you're given into the easy thing of remaining good and remaining on the light side. I do. I think that's really great.
And it's like a wonderful metaphor for parenting, for mentoring, just for different ways to find success in your life, which is why it resonates to so many of us and we find so much joy in all of it. So, Jordan, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest here on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can people reach out and get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Crackshot, except the O is a zero. And I'm not – yeah, so I'm not my own name on Twitter. That's the name of the superhero that I used to pretend to be when I was a kid.
You shot first, so, right?
That's cool, too.
So you can find me there. That's probably the easiest way. My website is waxwork.com, waxwork.com. It has lots of stuff that I've created over the years. And I'm up on YouTube, like I said, as well. So you can search for Jordan D. White there.
Perfect. And I can't wait to hear your covers. That's going to be very fun.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Well, and thank you again for being on Coffee with Kenobi. We look forward to chatting with you in the future and digging into these amazing Marvel comics that are coming our way.
My pleasure. And I hope you like them a lot.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Anyway, well, hopefully we'll have you on sometime in the future after we've had them out and sort of see where we're at.
Sure thing.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, my friend. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section, or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.